When your $50 billion foundation has so much power that it literally influences governments, you might be Bill Gates. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. This week, we've been talking with Bill Gates, co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and is trying to eradicate polio and malaria globally. Gates created a billion-dollar climate investment fund. He has funded multiple factories to find a vaccine for COVID-19, and the foundation is matchmaking companies around the world to get that vaccine distributed. Gates is in the position to do all of this because he's one of the world's richest people, because he co-founded Microsoft. And to be honest, that's a little weird. So in part three here, I asked Bill Gates how his philanthropy ends up doing so much of the work of government. He said some of it is mission creep. Take malaria.
Well, when we started out, we mostly thought that we would just increase the R&D because, you know, for malaria, the people who die, which at that time was over 1 million children a year, they don't have enough money to have a voice in the marketplace. So there was no science or willingness to fund on their behalf in a capitalistic system. And there was a little bit of foreign aid, but not much. So we came in as the biggest player in malaria funding. At first, I thought our role would just be to create the drugs and the nets, and that we wouldn't need to fund the actual delivery side, because once we had the tools, the uptake would be there. In fact, it turned out that it was much harder to have things delivered than we expected. So we were a co-founder of the Global Fund that goes after three diseases, HIV, tuberculosis, and malaria. And we were a founder of this Gavi organization that buys vaccines for the poor countries at the very lowest prices. And so those two institutions, which we did in our first 2 years of existence to learn about delivery, so far, actually, they've probably been the most impactful thing we've done. The R&D promises to give us some amazing things, including the tools that will help us end malaria and make incredible progress on HIV. But the delivery side, I underestimated how hard it was and how we would have to partner up to figure out what kind of vaccine would be acceptable, what kind of medical intervention. You know, even how do you tell people that they really need to sleep under that bed net? And that feeds back to the design of the product because you're a partner in the delivery and you see what's not working. You know, We thought we could get women to take a daily pill for HIV prevention. And the uptake on that was very, very low. And so now we're working on something that you'd only have to take either a shot or a pill every 90 days because it looks like that would get uptake. But, you know, you're driven by the limitations of uptake. And so that's why we've got to be deeply involved, not just in R&D, but also the delivery side.
At what point do your priorities, the priorities of the foundation, end up becoming the priorities for the world? And you've described a sort of, you know, series of unintended consequences that pull you in deeper and deeper to ultimately the work of governments.
Well, in no case should countries depend on our philanthropy or any other philanthropy to solve a basic need. We can accelerate the R&D. And so, yes, by spending money on malaria as opposed to, you know, some fancy vacation or something. Yes, the world's resources are going more into malaria now than they did before. And those million deaths are now down at 400,000. And so, yes, our values do change what gets funded in this economy. And malaria just was, in my view, grossly underfunded.
You said it was either, like, it could be either malaria or a luxury good. But there's like a lot in between there. And do you ever think maybe I should turn my lens on disinformation or wealth inequality or racism in the United States?
Well, we do spend We have two big things we do. One is inequity in the U.S., which is a lot of that's education, and then there's global health. I do believe you really have to focus and become expert. We're basically saving a life for less than $1,000 per life saved. You know, so these are miraculous interventions. If in other fields people have miraculous interventions through the Giving Pledge, you know, we'll make sure lots of philanthropists see these high impact things. Some problems, governments spending way more than philanthropists can, haven't been able to solve. And so mostly philanthropy comes up with pilots, you know, pilots of a mentoring program, pilots of a, you know, how schools could organize a bit differently. So we do a lot of that. But once we've committed to malaria eradication, we're not going to abandon that. Sadly, there's very few fields where you can save millions of lives for small sums of money.
Bill Gates is co-chair of the Gates Foundation. And now for some related links. First, our condolences to Bill Gates and his family. His father died this week. Obviously, this was after our conversation. Bill Gates Sr. was 94. And here's what else we're watching in tech. On our ongoing coverage of tech and education, a new Common Sense Media survey finds that basically teenagers hate remote school and they don't think they learn as well. Can confirm, as a mom here. But they still think it's better than going back to school in person. 59% say online schooling is worse than in person, and just 19% say that they should go back while coronavirus is still out of control. So when exactly do we start petitioning for a national gap year? I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.